Hi, gang. Welcome to your own High Gang show, coming to you from the heart of London, starring D.B. Daniels, Big Oliver, and Ben Lyon. That's me, folks, with Stanley Black, his orchestra, Benny Lee, the High Gangsters, and our guest star, whose name we are keeping a secret until later on in the program. Stanley Black, his orchestra, and the High Gangsters now take you riding on a rainbow. Folks, here's an announcement. On the 7th Sunday in March at the Royal Albert Hall, the Society for the Prevention of Cruelty to Radio Listeners is organizing a monster charity concert. And here's the monster, Vic Oliver. Come here, Vic.
That is the finish. Lyon, you have given me one of your corny introductions for the last time. I'm leaving High Gang.
Wait a minute. Leaving High Gang.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, my leaving this program has no connection with anybody else leaving any other program.
Well, Vic, I'm sorry you're leaving. I really am. Gosh, I'm sorry. I really am sorry.
Cut it out. All that sorry stuff would sound a lot more sincere if you'd only stop trying to hand me my insurance card.
Well, what are you going to do now, Vic? Retire?
Retire nothing. I've already had an offer from another radio show.
What? What other radio show?
Focus on Plumbing. They want me to be the resident drip.
Vic. Why don't you go after a job you know something about?
What do you mean a job I know something about? Such impudence. I'll have you know you're now looking at one of the most experienced men in radio. Next to me, Stuart Hibbert is a discovery. I've been broadcasting since 1918 A.D.
Oh, you have, eh? Well, for your information, there was no such thing as broadcasting in 1918. Broadcasting didn't start until 5 years later.
Are you sure about that?
Absolutely sure.
You mean to say for 5 years I was shouting me blooming head off for nothing? Isn't that just like the BBC? No consideration.
You remember those old days of broadcasting? Weren't they funny?
Oh, they certainly were. I can remember entering a funny little studio, and there in the middle of the room was a funny old-fashioned microphone. Then a funny little man wearing a funny-looking suit used to say, "Here is your favorite comedian, Vic Oliver."
Yeah. And from then on, everything stopped being funny.
Yes. Benjamin, why must you go on talking when you have nothing left to say?
Oh, I don't know. My mouth happened to be open and it seemed a pity to waste it. Say, tell me, What did you do on your first broadcast?
Oh, I was sensational. I told such wonderful jokes. Of course, the same jokes that would sound very corny if I cracked them today.
Yes, Vic, they do.
Yeah. Funny guy. Very humorous.
Well, look, the radio's come a long way. The radio's come a long way since those early days. Why, between the home service, the light program, and the third program, there's something for all tastes.
Well, then this is probably news to you, Ben, but I'm starting my own radio program, the fourth program.
The fourth program? What's it going to be?
I'll tell you, from 6 o'clock in the morning until 6 at night, there's going to be nothing on at all. Just complete silence. Then from 6 at night until 6 in the morning, we go off the air.
Well, what's the idea of that? Who's it for?
That's for people who hate radio.
Seriously, though, Vic, don't you think radio is wonderful? I mean, aren't we lucky? Here we stand in this studio in front of this little microphone and reach 30 million people.
Yes, aren't we lucky they can't reach us?
And then there's television. That's even more wonderful.
Yes, Benny, my boy, soon my public will not only be able to hear me, they'll be able to see me as well.
Victor, let's try to look on the bright side. Maybe television won't catch on.
My pal.
I'm not sure I'm the right type for television myself.
Oh, don't worry about Ben. They're making those screens wider every day.
Oh, yeah? I'm not worried. After all, that's progress, isn't it? Talking pictures replace silent pictures, and now it looks as if television will replace the radio.
And you're not worried?
Certainly not.
After what talking pictures did to you?
Never mind that. And television isn't the end either. There's nothing science can't do, Vic. Well, pretty soon, you'll not only be able to see and hear things, you'll be able to smell them, too.
You'll be able to smell them?
Yes. Yes, they're going to call it smelly vision.
Benny.
Yes, Vic?
You're going to be a big success.
A number that is quickly becoming a favorite. It's called You Were Only Fooling.
Love is a blessing, so the poets say, and I believe it was true. You got me guessing and feeling this way. Then suddenly we were through. For you were only fooling. But I was falling. Love. It's the story as old as Adam and Eve. I was making love, but you were making believe. You lied to me with kisses. I tried to stop dreaming of, but you were only fooling me. While I was falling in love, you lied to me with kisses. I tried to stop dreaming of, but you were only fooling me. While I was falling, so you were only fooling, but I was falling in love.
All right, very nice, Benny Lee. Say, Benny. Benny, have you seen B.B.?
Yes, I saw her this morning giving instructions to the man driving the big crane.
What man driving what big crane?
That big crane that was uprooting your house and loading it onto the lorry.
Loading my house onto a lorry? What for?
Well, Miss Daniels said she was taking it down to the Ideal Home Exhibition to show the British housewives what not to do.
Oh, that's awful. Hey, there she is now. B.B. Daniels, come here. B.B.? B.B., what's this I hear about you moving our house?
Oh, stop worrying, Dan. I put it back exactly where I found it. Well, almost exactly.
Hey, what are you laughing at?
You know that big oak tree in our back garden?
Yes.
Well, it isn't there anymore.
My beautiful oak tree? Where is it?
In the middle of our sitting room.
Oh, that's terrible.
No, it isn't. It'll save you a lot of trouble, Ben. You won't have to take the dog for a walk anymore.
Phoebe, I thought you'd have more sentiment for our little house. Why, we built it ourselves. Don't you remember 19 years ago we came here and you picked out a site?
Yeah, and I married you, too.
Stop trying to be funny. I'm talking about our home. It might not be the most modern house in London, but it's very nice as a whole.
Yeah, but who wants to live in the hole?
That's a fine thing to say. Maybe we do need a few things.
A few things. What about the wallpaper?
Oh, well, I have a little surprise for you there. Yesterday, I bought some beautiful pink wallpaper. And guess what, B.B.? I'm going to put it on myself.
Don't you think it would look better on the wall?
I'm ashamed of you.
Well, you won't be after you see my labor-saving invention at the Ideal Home Exhibition. You know what? I've invented a square bathtub.
Well, what's so labor-saving about a square bathtub?
Well, after you take a bath, no rings.
Look, Phoebe, if you want to really be useful, you can start by getting a new boiler for our kitchen.
Well, what's wrong with the one we got?
That old thing? I'll be glad to get it out of the house. It fills half the room, smokes all day, and looks as if it's going to burst any minute. No, not you, Mama. Sit down. What are you laughing at, Phoebe?
Dear, I forgot to tell you, you don't have to worry about that boiler anymore, Ben.
Don't have to worry about the boiler?
No.
Why not?
Well, the maid tried to light it with paraffin this morning, and she got blown out the window.
Oh, that's terrible.
No, it isn't. This is her day out anyway.
I don't know what I'm going to do with you. This is really serious.
Oh, that's nothing. Wait till you hear what happened right after that.
I'm afraid to ask, but go ahead and tell me.
I put the milk out on the balcony.
Well, what's wrong with that?
We have no balcony.
That's all right. You can always get another bottle of milk.
Yeah, but we can't get another milkman. He was holding the bottle.
Oh, that's... And now we come to the novelty spot of our program, If I Had the Chance. This week, it's our privilege to say hello and at the same time, bon voyage to a young American who came here not long ago to star in The Hasty Heart and is sailing home in a few days. You saw him in King's Row and The Voice of the Turtle. You're soon to see him in John Loves Mary. Here he is, folks, Ronald Reagan. Well, Ronnie, so it's hello and goodbye, eh?
That's right. Hello, Ben.
Hello, Ronnie.
Goodbye, Ben.
No, wait a minute. You're not leaving for 4 days.
Well, I have to pack my trunk, don't I?
I know, but how come it takes you 4 days to pack a trunk?
Strong union.
I'm sorry you can't stay. I was going to ask you a lot of questions.
What kind of questions, Ben?
Oh, little intimate personal questions like, how do I look? How do you like me? Do you think I'm getting slimmer? What do you say, Ronnie?
Goodbye, Ben.
Come back here. Please stay. Make yourself at home.
At home? Where do you think I live? Goodbye.
No, Ronnie. Look, we have so much to talk about. So much in common. We can talk about our favorite parts and pictures. You know, my favorite part was Hell's Angels. What's yours?
Well, without a doubt, the part I played opposite Ann Sheridan in King's Row.
Oh, yes, I remember it well. That was in 1943, the year they reissued Hell's Angels. Then you had 4 years in the Air Force, and then you did The Voice of the Turtle in 1948, didn't you?
That's right. What did you do in 1948?
Oh, that was the year they reissued Hell's Angels. Yeah, and this year, we're going to see you in John Loves Mary, isn't that right?
That's right, Ben. What are we going to see you in this year?
Hell's Angels. Tell me, Ronnie, now that you've finished The Hasty Heart, what are you going to make now?
The Hasty Exit.
Oh, let me take over, Ben.
Oh, hello, BB.
Hello, Cuddles. How are you getting on with Father Time?
Not so good. I've just seen Hell's Angels through 3 times.
That's nothing. I've had to sit through that darn thing so many times, I can recite the dialogue backwards.
So can I. You know something? Sounds better that way.
Say, Ronnie, before you go home, will you do something for me? Will you give me an autographed picture of yourself?
Well, glad to, baby. What shall I put on?
Oh, put the BB in memory of that mad, carefree, never-to-be-forgotten night at the Chelsea Arts Ball.
Yeah, but wait a minute, baby. I've never been to the Chelsea Arts Ball with you.
Well, that's why I want the autograph. The fellow I was with can't write.
Baby, you were with me.
Who's arguing?
I don't know. Phoebe, why do you always try to belittle me whenever we have a guest? It's not fair. I'm as educated and as intelligent as the next man.
Well, I'm the next man, so quit shoving, Fatso.
Fatso? Why, you young whippersnapper. How dare you talk to me like that? I was making pictures for Cecil B. DeMille before you were born. I'm almost old enough to be your father.
You're old enough to be Cecil B. DeMille's father.
It's still just plain theft, though, to me.
Oh, pardon me, pardon me. Is this a private rough house, or can anybody join in?
No, only people.
Hey, who is this part-time bit player?
Why, Vic, this is Ronald Regan. Don't you remember him from The Voice of the Turtle?
I recognize the voice, but I can't place the turtle. Introduce me, Ben.
Okay, this is Ronald Turtle. Ronald Regan, one of our most famous film stars. And Ronnie, this is Victor Oliver, an out-of-work musician.
Who's out of work? I have a regular engagement every St. Patrick's night.
Play Irish tunes?
No, I cook Irish too. I also write music, Mr. Beacon. Here is my card.
Victor Tchaikovsky Oliver. Songs, sonatas, fugues, ballads, concertos, rhapsodies, and three-piece suites.
Very interesting. What are you doing now?
Starving.
Well, Mr. Oliver, it's nice to meet you. You see, I happen to be quite a music lover.
Is that so, Mr. Reebok? Would you like me to play my violin for you?
No, no, I'm afraid you didn't quite understand me. I said I was a music lover.
What's the matter with this show? Don't we ever get a straight man for a guest? I could slush this guy.
Be quiet, Vic. Ronnie, we always ask our guest star what their secret ambition is. Have you a secret ambition?
Well, yes, I think I have. You see, Ben, before I went into pictures, I was a radio sports commentator. Naturally, the first thing I heard about when I came to England was your football. And boy, I'm telling you, that football or soccer, whatever you call it, must be one terrific game.
Well, did you understand it?
Oh, sure, all except for one thing.
What's that?
Can't make heads or tails out of it.
Well, what's the secret ambition, Ronnie?
Seriously, Ben, I want to do a radio commentary on a British soccer match.
But how can you? You just told me you didn't understand the game.
Oh, I was just kidding. I understand American football, and after all, football is football.
Yeah, but this game is different.
Now, how can it be different? You just keep your eyes and your mouth open, and it sounds all the same. Something like this. In America, for example, it's Notre Dame and Pittsburgh. Notre Dame comes out of the huddle up to the line of scrimmage, that Fighting Irish backfield, Wachowski, Mihailovic, Bertelli, and Lou Jack. They shift over to the right. It's Bertelli back. The ball is snapped to Bertelli. He's going wide out of the right. Cuts in
okay,
over his own right
okay,
back.
Okay, okay. That's terrific. That's terrific. Do you think you can do the same thing for a soccer match?
Ben, like I said, football is football. It's all the same. Sure, it's a cinch. Here we are at the stadium, ladies and gentlemen. Down there on the field, those two teams. It's a beautiful, crisp, brilliant day. You can almost see the field. The Manchester Wanderers versus the Chelsea Pensioners. Both teams are down there milling around in the center of the field. Well, that is all except two fellas in different colored sweaters. They're standing at opposite ends of the field. I guess the rest of the guys are mad at him. Won't let him play. Anyway, they look bored about the whole thing. But something's going on down there in the middle now. Yes, it must be a fumble because someone who's dropped the ball is bounding around down on the ground. One fellow is after it, Stan Matthews. He goes after the ball. He tries to pick it up. But before he can get his hands on that ball, he hits it accidentally with his foot. It goes bounding down the field. He's after it, tries to get it again, and then stumbles over it. It pops straight up in the air and bounces off the head of a little fellow standing there. He couldn't do that again if he tried. Now Matthews is after it. Oh, the crowd is going wild. They're screaming. Yes, they're screaming, kill the referee. He bends just like at home. Now Matthews is after that ball again. He'll get it this time, and if he can get his hands on it, he's in the clear. But no, he hits it again with his foot. There it is, down to the five-yard line. He'll get it sure this time. But no, he stumbles over it again, and it goes into that net or cage or whatever it is down there. What a shame. What a dirty break. If he could have only picked up that ball, I know he'd have made a touchdown.
We certainly enjoyed that game.
Thank you.
Thank you, Pa Stanley Black. That was really very, very good.
Hey, Ben, how's your job going down at the film studio?
Oh, my job at the studio? Fine, Vic, fine.
How do you get on with the boss, Daryl Zanuck?
Daryl Zanuck? Why, what do you mean? He's not exactly my boss. I'm really just as important at the studio as he is.
Is that so?
I'll get it. Hello? Yes, he's here. Ben, it's Daryl Zanuck.
Oh, gosh, give me the phone. Hello, sir? Yes, sir? Yes, sir? Yes, sir?
Of course, he's not exactly the boss.
Yes, sir? Yes, sir.
Yeah, Ben's really just as important at the studio as Daryl Zanuck.
Oh, yes.
Yes. Will you shut up?
No, no, not you, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir?
Witty repartee, isn't it?
Yes, sir?
Ben, why don't you say no, sir, once in a while? It's so monotonous this way.
No, sir. I mean yes, sir. Yes, sir. Goodbye, sir. Well, I certainly told him where to get off, didn't I?
Yes, you've got him just where he wants you, Ben.
All quiet. Of course he would choose this weekend, wouldn't he? Just when I want to go to the British Museum.
What does he want you to do, Ben?
Oh, he wants me to go to Paris and see all those French reviews and interview a lot of beautiful girls.
And you want to go to the British Museum?
Well, I had it all planned.
Well, you know something? I bet if Lady Godiva rode in here this minute, you would start raving about the horse.
Are you really going to Paris?
Oh, I've got to, B.B. After all, this is important. You know, it's a very important job. I'm a big film executive now.
Big executive, he says. You know what they're calling him around the studios? Ben Lyon, the one-man film crisis.
They are not.
Vinny, as long as you go to Paris, will you bring me back some of that wonderful French perfume? It's for my girlfriend, Emma Birkin Twit.
Oh, sure I will, Vic. What kind do you want?
Well, let's see. There's a very nice one called Surrender. And there's a stronger one yet called Fight Back.
I see. Yeah, I get it.
Oh, I know a perfume stronger than that.
What is it?
It's called Ouvre la fenêtre, ce soir et le soir.
Oh, what does that mean?
It means look out, Michael Wilding. Here I come.
I should have known better than to ask. Well, I guess I'd better go and get my ticket.
Oh, what a thrill you have in store for you, Benny, my boy. Paris in the spring, at Chestnut Trees in the Place de la Conquer. The peasants singing the mayonnaise. The tramps useless. The arch, the tramps. Lovely, the Blackpool Tower.
Vic, that's the Eiffel Tower. The Blackpool Tower is in Blackpool.
Is it? Who moved it?
What it sounds to me is that neither of you know anything at all about Paris.
Who doesn't? Kill sheep. Mind you, I haven't been there since before the war. Paris may have changed a bit.
Oh, no, it hasn't, B.B. I got a postcard from a friend in Paris only last week.
Well, Vic, what did it say?
I don't know. I haven't looked at the other side yet.
Ben going over to Paris by himself. I don't trust him.
Oh, B.B., you can trust me.
All right. What are you going to do your first day in Paris?
Oh, I don't suppose I'll have anything on.
See what I mean, Ben?
Look, I've had enough. I'm going.
Just a minute, Ben. Ben, do you think you know how to behave in French society?
Well, what do you mean?
Well, shut up now. We'll show you some of the finer points. B.B., you be Mademoiselle Dubois.
Okay, I'm Mademoiselle Dubois.
And I will be Monsieur Ben Lyon. And I'm looking over your chateau.
You naughty, naughty boy. Ah, Monsieur Lyon, où est la plume de métal?
Ah, Mademoiselle Dubois. Fermez la blooming porte, let's get cracking.
Oh, la, 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 la. Put me down, monsieur.
Ah, mademoiselle, I kiss your eyebrows. I kiss your eyes. I kiss your nose.
Aren't you going to kiss my forehead?
No, I'm not going in that direction.
Oh, la, 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 poo-poo.
And poo-poo to you, too.
Oh, monsieur, you are naughty, naughty boy. Will you have some champagne?
Merci.
Cognac?
Merci.
Cocktail?
Merci.
Lemon candy?
Oh, oui, oui, merci.
This is ridiculous. I've got to go.
Well, goodbye, Betty. Be a good boy. Have a good time.
How can he do both?
By the way, where is the American section in Paris?
The first four rows at the Folies Bergère.
Oh, well. Goodbye, folks.
scotch the phone. Yes, sir? Yes, sir? Yes, sir?
Dan, answer it first.
Oh. Oh, yes, sure. Hello? Yes, sir? Yes, sir? Oh, what's that, sir? A whole week, sir? Oh, thank you, sir. Goodbye, sir. Did you hear that? Think of it. A whole week.
A whole week in Paris?
No, you dope. In the British Museum. Honestly, I could flush this guy. Well, gang, if you want me, I'll be in the British Museum where I belong. Hey, wait a minute. What am I saying? Anyway, we'll be with you again next week. Same time, same station. So to then, this is...
Phoebe Daniels.
Dick Oliver.
And Ben Lyon. That's me, folks. Wishing you and yours the best of everything. So until next week, so long, gang.